that's one thing about this whole situation. It's like, this is just for ads. Like,
it's just perpetual then.
You just wish it was for all the machine learning was for something, some kind of greater good. But just money, nigga. Like, I just,
yeah, nigga, ass. What you mean?
just mad men and shit.
Like. Silicon Valley failed.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harris with my co-captain, co-pilot, and co-normcore fashionista, Deej Dollars. How you living, man?
Shades of gray, apparently.
Nice and vague. I love it.
Of course.
Sorry, man. I remember it's been a few days since our last podcast, but didn't you?
What? Was it?
Yeah, it was last week.
Yeah, we did. I thought you were making it seem as if we hadn't gone.
No, but I remember, didn't you say you were going somewhere? Am I tripping? Did you not go anywhere?
Did I go anywhere?
Yeah.
Over the weekend? Yeah. Over the week? No, maybe over the course of next weekend.
Oh, it was next weekend. All right.
So yeah, I have a correspondent check-in next week. Maybe.
My bad. But, so, man, had a good weekend enjoying pop culture once again. We didn't get to touch base on the greatest pop culture happening for the Game of Thrones. Just a Game of Thrones update.
Yeah, I'm there. It's
prerequisite for all media during the next month and a half.
Yeah, I'm there with everyone else, though. I've been enjoying it, despite the clear sharing the clear issues that a lot of us have in regards to the pacings and exposition. But I will say my pessimism for the series it has
turned
dissipated. Yeah.
Okay.
I've actually been rather enthralled and enjoyed most of it.
That so this episode 4 did it for you, brought you back within the threshold.
Not even like the 3 and 4, yeah, specifically. Like they had their own issues, but I mean it was just exciting, you know, grade A prestige television from a beloved show.
Okay, I like the positivity. I wasn't sure if I was gonna be there with you, but the episode 4 did it for me, so I'm glad.
Slit.
This is not what this podcast is about this week, but this is important. I feel like the way the media world is, everybody's talking about it. I saw Styles P talk about that whole Game of Thrones segment on Hot 97 with Styles P, and he's very into it. So I was like, shit. Yeah, I know, man. This is more than our last bit of monoculture.
Yeah, it's only that and ramping up for the playoffs.
Yes, man.
Every night.
And sometimes you got to throw alley-oops to great, great segues like that, DJ. So I love it. I'm very proud of you. Today we're talking about, we have 3 articles, but the first one is about my MVP.
The real MVP.
The real MVP. In New York Times, Peter S. Goodman, Giannis Antetokounmpo was the pride of a Greece that shunned him. Alongside of that, I want to offer an additional article that's right in the same pocket. I have to open it up because I realized that I was talking about the previous one. But Mark Spears has a piece that was a few months ago that I thought was really good that highlights his, I guess, roots in Nigeria. So it's for the undefeated Black ESPN, March 5th, 2019.
Right.
The Greek freak wants to go back to his Nigerian roots. We're talking all about Giannis, man, and this whole thing about identity, immigration. What does it mean for the next LeBron, the best player in the league, to have come from such, I would say, controversial legal roots, considering how popular his stature has become and what he means for the communities that are, I guess, trying to claim him.
Yeah, especially how it's changed socio-politically since his emergence. He went from an immigrant kid in the streets of
selling big watches and belts,
selling DVDs and belts and stuff. To an international star in a relatively short period of time. And during the course of that time, he and many immigrants like him, particularly coming from different parts of Africa and whatnot, have experienced a lot of prejudice, sorry, falling with my words, and just blatant racism throughout the world, and specifically in culturally homogenous places like Greece. And have been generally marginalized.
You've been to Greece?
No, I haven't. I know people that have though.
Because yeah, I'm one, and I was gonna say that it's interesting that the story and the ideas of, you know, xenophobia, what does it mean, centers around Greece, because that shit was like Newark when I was there.
What do you mean by that? Athens. It was bad black people?
I mean, there was bad black people, but just like, it didn't give me, like, when you hear the stories about what's happening in Germany and France and a lot of like the stories about people invading, I feel like Greece has always been at the epicenter of this crossroads of cultures and whatnot, and they've been conquered or whatever by the Ottomans and all this stuff and Balkan culture, and they're swarthy. They're a bit swarthy down there. And when you have, when I was there, I saw quite a few people do what I guess he used to do and sell and watch, and I see the black people out there trying to make it. And it was just kind of, when you go to Europe and you see that generally, and especially in the places that aren't like, you know, France, which has just mad black people.
Yeah, sure.
But you see them all over. Like, it's just like, what do you expect from these people? And especially in a place that's lower economically than the big countries in Europe, like Greece.
Yeah.
Them being on the streets hawking things for cash is not destroying the Greek economy. That's not hurting people. It's more financial instruments in the way that these agreements have been made and what Greece can do. So it just holds less weight, all the xenophobia, than some of these other places where it's like, oh, you know, we have these economic things, we're selling these people, taking our jobs, they're coming in, but they're not. He's selling shit on the street.
Are you talking about the fabled like economic anxiety in the US? Yeah. No, that's always a misnomer.
But it's also been in Turks in Germany and these things where that's their real complaint.
Mm-hmm.
That barely holds in Greece.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, I think everybody can understand that to some degree, where it's just the cultural differences can be jarring between peoples. And I mean, there's just obviously a large difference between dark-skinned Africans and any potential Turks or, yeah, you know, the Balkans that intermingle in and around Greece and Athens. So I guess we're just talking about that relative glow up for Giannis in particular, because now he's the beloved son of a Greek country that initially did not aim to claim him very much. He actually just got his citizenship not too long ago.
Couldn't even get a passport to come to the fucking draft. They didn't want him to be like, oh shit, we're about to get a Nigerian draft, and he gets drafted as a Nigerian. They don't want that, so they finally agreed to it. So it's weird, man.
Yeah, I think it just follows up on a number of themes that we always touch on, particularly when it's just like a strong bit of perception or morals or ethics is driven by like a profit motive or some type of marketing opportunity. So both of us know that he is now known by like as the Greek Freak, right? Mm. Good branding,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Very lit.
Alliterative.
He has his own Nikes coming out. They're called the Freak Ones.
The Freak Ones.
Yeah. And that, you know, rhymes with Greek. It's not the Nigerian Freaks.
Yeah, that's a nasty porn. I don't know what that is.
Oh, God. yeah, about that. So they're more than happy to accept that part. And in the same basketball court that he used to play in, do you actually have the pizza, or did the paywall block you?
No, I got it.
What was the neighborhood that you lived in?
Not they blocked me, dog. Because I tried to put it incognito. They're like, nigga, get out of incognito mode.
All right, I'll pull it out.
But yes, I remember.
Some of us have subscriptions.
Yeah, I respect it. But yeah, the whole premise of him being at that court, they used to play, and they would say that this kid is just athletic and running around. He didn't really know how to play initially, and then I don't remember the gentleman's name, the coach, but found him on this court because he was just looking for these young African kids and convincing their parents to let him play.
Yeah, apparently looking into their eyes to see if they were active, if they had street smarts.
It's like, are they shifty? You know, I don't know. But I guess if you're a scout, it's prime. It's a prime position. This happens all the time. These kids that aren't really being watched and they're not given the opportunity, why not give them an opportunity? What is a giant kid like that going to do playing soccer, to be honest?
Yeah, it just shows you the cynicism of the whole thing, really, I guess for better or worse, just how the strong pull identity has on people, and for how a country sees itself. And we're seeing a lot of that in the U.S. as well. So even up to this point, when we thought of Greek people, we're not thinking of people that look like Giannis.
Right.
And that's just being realistic. But you would want or hope on their side, when somebody like that is coming up, that they still embrace such a talent or such a budding talent with open arms. But that didn't seem to be the case. And to hope that maybe that kind of flows downward to everyone that is contributing in the country, regardless of what their background is. Main Western type country that I know that really tries to double down on this is France, as you may know. They really push hard on French culture and not particularly divided along racial lines. So I've always found that to be pretty interesting, because it's not quite like that. And other places, obviously the U.S. in particular, just because our shared history has been so colored by race, for lack of a better term, I guess.
Colored by race.
There's definitely like a Henry Lake
Williams.
I was about to say, that's like that's the next Henry Louis Gates PBS documentary. Yeah. So, anything else?
I mean, what's funny too about the Mark Spears piece is that it kind of goes into this whole, how do I interact with Nigeria, and how he actually has his Nigerian passport. Felt like it was important.
Right. So let's say he was born in Greece, right?
Yes.
And to two immigrant parents, I guess grew up in a relatively not clearly documented means of sorts. Okay. Right. But both his parents are from Nigeria.
Can I give you this quote too?
Yeah.
This is from him. I grew up in a Nigerian home. Obviously, I was born in Greece.
Obviously.
And I went to school in Greece. But at the end of the day, when I go home, there is no Greek culture. It's straight up Nigerian culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's about discipline, about respecting your elders, having morals. And supposedly, he's Igbo, but also the name is supposedly Yoruba. So whoever wants to fight about that, I know West Africans.
Which name?
His last name.
Atentikumpo?
Yeah.
Hmm. You know he's big because he got a lot of people being able to easily pronounce his last name, which is not easy.
It's definitely it's difficult.
Atentikumpo. It starts to roll off your tongue the more you say it.
All right.
I did that on purpose to see.
I was trying to think of another take on it, but I mean, yeah, man. I'm trying to think of another scenario where this sort of dual situation has happened, but I don't think it's really happened with somebody of this stature that's also an immigrant.
That came over to the U.S.
That just has the struggle of not really having a place to give their identity. I mean, he played for the national team like that. He went hard for that, but it's also like...
For the Greek national team?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
But did he have to? I mean, he did the basketball wild borders in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And was playing with all those other like African prospects when he was a young kid. And it's like, I'm trying to compare that situation, but I don't see it. I don't see it.
Not to this clear degree.
Somebody like Luol Deng, who moved...
Mm-hmm. To England, right?
To England.
Yeah.
But his father was like a diplomat or some
shit.
Yeah. It's just like, this dude really is rag to riches. That might be the part of the story that impressed me the most. It's just that the reporting of going to all these people and seeing what was their experience like with this kid that made it out of Greece. So when he said he gave his all-star jersey to like this dude who ran a restaurant and used to just give them food.
Yeah, he used to give him food, yeah.
That's real shit. That's that whole... I don't know, that humility and shit that LeBron tries to like market himself as, but he really, Giannis actually lived this shit and wasn't like a international superstar when he was 12, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, he lived non-American poverty.
Yeah.
Or at least non-American lower class living, which is just a whole nother thing, even with a relative European safety net. So that obviously filters into his game. That's what I see. Like that force.
Just that rage.
That energy, that rage. Like niggas in the US, like they're not doing, like if you ever watch Giannis play, he tries to kill, he tries to put people through the rim every every possession. And you could just see, like, it's pretty clear that he just has always played like that. Probably out of necessity.
And that's in the piece, too. Just that he had this competitiveness and fire to do it, which is, yeah, especially watching the most recent game, like him just run through people and the physicality and then that desire to win. It's impressive, and I like it. More Rags to Riches story like this. Cause.
Yeah, I think the NBA has done a great and growing job at incorporating international players, as you would know pretty well as well, Brandon. So more stories like this are bound to pop up. So all of our stateside homies, y'all better get your game up, because you got kids like Giannis that came up kind of like a kid without a nation, was out in the streets selling DVDs, the Greeks not fucking with him, calling him a monkey or whatever, what have you. And now he's the best player in the NBA.
And now they're doing camps and shit. And he goes back and talks and all this.
Kind of
crazy shit. That's the funniest part about it too. It's just coming to terms with people like, oh, he's great. When we went to the game,
what about it?
There was the huge, there's a fan behind us with a big ass Greek flag. Oh yeah.
Oh right, yeah.
And it's just like that's just a weird feeling I had to come to terms with.
Yeah, that's always the pageantry, right? I mean, everybody like wants to be associated with a winner. So I'm not going to sit here and try to ascribe any type of motivations or political stances that he should and could take. But even just his presence and the slight few things that he does say, it matters a lot to Greece itself, I guess Nigeria, just this entire type of immigrant refugee culture that's taken off and that will only be exasperated over time, especially with the effects of climate change and whatnot. There are bound to be millions of refugees across the world, or even just shit like what's happening in Central America, right? All these Central American refugees trying to escape, you know, the lack of economic opportunity and drugs and violence from their countries. So, I guess it just goes to show that everybody has potential. I mean, everybody's not going to grow up to be 7 feet tall and like 7'6" wingspan. But
everybody has potential. Like that.
Yeah, it's not all just basketball either.
Very positive, DJ. I love it.
I try to be.
If we were to move on and think about where the rest of the world is going, we might not all have potential to be superstars, but we do all have the potential.
Basketball superstars. NBA right. Superstars.
Of course, you're a fashion superstar. we do all have the potential to contribute to the internet hive mind. We're all going to just be a piece of this cultural engorging, and you know, we don't give much. Just our data, just our ideas. And
we'll just everything.
And we just become part of the one culture tech mind.
Yeah, no. or better said, until we're just all incorporated into the larger machine learning algorithm that's just somehow smarter and cooler and more intuitive than all of us.
But it's all just to create more ads. It's weird. That's what I think about this whole situation. It's like, this is just for ads? Like,
it's just perpetual.
You just wish it was for all the machine learning was for something, some kind of greater good. But just money, nigga. Like, I just,
yeah, nigga. What you mean?
just mad men and shit.
Like. Silicon Valley failed.
Yo, so let's take a second and let the author speak for themselves.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. So the way the story started is that I've been interested for a while in different kinds of work, like what sorts of labor gets seen as valuable and worth paying for. And often we think about that in terms of the unpaid work that women traditionally do at home, but it's really a lot broader than that. So I started looking at how much work people do for free online, like, for example, people who have a particular health condition who answer each other's questions on a subreddit somewhere, or people who edit each other's fan fiction. And that got me thinking about how companies like Google and Facebook end up financially profiting from unpaid labor. So once I started looking at it, I read the work of people like Glenn Weil, who talk about how it's important to think about how we're contributing to these profits. Even just if we're scrolling through Facebook or using Google Maps, all these actions create data and companies profit from it. I think the most surprising thing that I learned about was a different way of looking at big tech. A lot of times we hear the robots are going to take our jobs, like that's some inevitable future where people aren't going to be able to do useful work anymore. But what I've learned is it turns out technology often facilitates all sorts of work that we do to help each other. The problem is that when the work takes the form of creating data, like to train artificial intelligence, we don't get paid for it. Instead, it just contributes to big companies' profits, which makes income inequality even worse. I guess I hope what people will take away from this story is that we are all doing the work of creating the internet and creating the data that powers new technology, so we're not just passive consumers. And so hopefully we can think about organizing as workers to try to capture more of the value that we're creating.
We all work for Facebook. Digital labor is valuable even when we do it for free. Should we get paid? By Livia Gershon. 9 minutes, 2,270 words. Respect.
Oh, they have like it all fully broken down on there. Smooth.
Yeah, man. What do you think about the premise of this piece? Because I felt like I got a hezzy initially. I thought it was just going to be all about just unpaid data mining, but it really goes into the greater perspective of how we all interact with culture and the internet, man.
Yeah, and how different pockets of the internet are mined. For, as you already said, for further repackaging and dissemination and used to better algorithms and target people for advertisements, in short. So we all work for Facebook, or that, and the author used Facebook as a shorthand for just about all these larger tech firms and social media companies, your Twitter, Facebook, Google, Amazon to some degree. Anything that really is dependent on ads. And whether we know it or not, everything that we do, literally down to our what we click on, how long we use a mouse or your finger to hover over something, whether you go back a page, all of that is recorded in mind somewhere and reused. So in addition to that, some of the more specific things that you may do or that you may take part in, whether it's participating on a fan page on Facebook or some type of your block's neighborhood group page on Facebook, so on and so forth.
That granular, people.
Yeah. It gets down to that point. And if you ever use the marketing tools of Facebook, like, you really get to see this. Have you ever done that shit? It's actually pretty creepy.
Once upon a time, we had a former podcast, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Shout out. So all that said, and with the emergence of the vulnerability of everyone's data, and also the kind of smart people starting to realize that this shit is clearly extremely valuable and is the lion's share of why these companies are valued in the billions. It's like, well, why are we doing this shit for free? Especially if it's our data, or if the idea right now is our data, and if there's starting to be an emergent push, at least in the U.S., to have regulations for our own private data.
As a quick aside, is there any sort of regulations with this topic in Europe at all?
Yeah, there is. There was a large piece of legislation that passed in Europe last year. I think it was called I forgot exactly what it was, but it's like GDPR or something like it. It obviously is an abbreviation for something, but the European Union passed a large bill that established the opening silo of large regulations to internet companies and what they can and can't do with your data, whether you can have your data purged or sent to you. A lot of those questions were resolved there. So there are committees now, and I guess think tanks, working on either porting that over or making the American version of that, working with industry, so on and so forth. I believe some of these large American social media firms are actually have now started to want to get involved with that to help drive some of that legislation as well, for
just,
better
just
or worse.
Just the strength of what? Public relations?
PR, but also, I guess, it's all PR, right? But you want to be a good public citizen. Maybe there's a chance that it takes off some of the heat and leverage on their backs about the, and with them fucking up with data breaches, or what happens when people die, or maybe we can, you know, make systems that make it more easier to for people to port their data from these services, like that. Then it obviously contains multitudes, but nonetheless, they're still hoovering up all this data. And some pieces of data are more niche and more important than even others. So it's like, why are we not getting paid for that? And one of the reasons we're not getting paid for that is because there just hasn't been any real labor organizing to that.
Right.
And also has not been facilitated on the other end by like the companies or the U.S. government.
Shout out to the Memers Union. That's fire.
Yeah, exactly. So there used to be, I always wondered this, and it's still a persistent thing, because that meme union that's best mentioned in the piece, it's obviously not the biggest thing out, right? It's like, I'm far from the only one that's had this epiphany or had like this snarky thing to say, but it's like, motherfuckers on the internet are funny, right?
Yeah.
Like, niggas got jokes, they make memes, GIFs, immediately after Game of Thrones happens, or a basketball game.
Hot.
And it's like, yo, if y'all are this brilliant, you should be getting paid for this in some capacity. And up to this point, they're not. And
As I guess I will be, I'm the media guy and you're the smart guy, is that how this works?
Sure.
When we talk about things, I would say, and this is coming from the perspective of, I guess, content creation and whatnot, that there is the first side of this thing where it's like, oh, what are we allowed to take from people with data and all that sort of stuff like that? We don't want to let people use certain things because that's too much, and we're condemning them to having potentially affected by their data being stolen, all kinds of shit like that, and that's bad. But the shit where we're talking about potentially paying, I don't know, creatives to come up with good memes and things that are interesting and whatnot, I don't know how that's actually plausible. I don't see it.
A lot of this is in really early stages, so I can't even really contend with
just because of the flood of content and what that would do. It confuses me, frankly, and not even in the fact that, oh, what is going to happen, but let's say hypothetically, you create a fire meme. Is this about maybe pixel tracking, where it's like, oh, this pixel of this meme has been around the internet that much, and then that would make the different services have to track that pixel and then charge for what is created? Actually, this is a good idea. And then it's like, but a Google search, is that the same as a Facebook thing? Because Facebook is an ecosystem. When Google is actually just searching these things, would you pay them there? Like torrenting and this whole idea that people are sharing peer to peer, is that you're going to get value for that, because you're not really facilitating that? So I would say, if I was a prolific meme creator, and I enjoy them, I've been trying to get into the business of memes, like through Reddit, like Meme Economy and Meme Insider and these things like that, to actually track these things and pay attention to the cultural shifts in them. I would say that first and foremost, the first thing that happened in media is that with anything that you're creating, there is editorial side and then there's the branded side. So if you have editorial content that's peer-to-peer and you're sharing and it's fun and it's great, whatever, cool. The business-to-business sector is where all the money is made on things like that, especially with content. Even photos. You know how much it costs to get a photo in fucking as a business that is actually free for anybody else to use? Stacks.
I know it can be bread, yeah.
So for me, if my meme, you're pixel tracking it and you use my format on a stupid social media post, I don't know, Wendy's, give it the back.
Hey, I mean, we're talking about the early stages of this, and really just comes down to people and content creators. We're all content creators to some degree, wising up to the fact that we're producing these things on these platforms for relatively free, that then these platforms then use to
further enrich themselves.
Further enrich themselves and enrich third-party companies that they're generally giving your data to market, to sell things to you. So everybody is getting rich but the user. And what we're getting in a perverse way is interaction and social elation, like to some degree. So, and I guess you can argue that that's a good currency, but that shit doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah, like how do you really feel about it? Because for me, there's that they are part of the piece is that what are they doing? But they are providing a service.
No, they are. They are.
So they're providing a service. I will say that. But and that's how any business works. Like they take something that doesn't seem of value and they put it into their service or product, and then now it becomes a value, and then that is where they are creating the value in a sense. Mm-hmm. And like anything, there's got to be some kind of collective bargaining. It just doesn't seem.
If enough people
got to wrap my head around it.
Yeah, I mean, it's rather large, and it's not. I mean, the hundreds of millions of people on Twitter are not about to collectively bargain. It really comes down to small collectives that maybe build up into something, or some type of just general plan of action or general, like I said, CBA to some degree. Because, yeah, like the people that make memes or the people that make their own type of art, like they, it's not, what am I trying to say? They're providing additional value that is the lifeblood for these services. Like the services are interdependent on the content being created on the services themselves. Yeah. Because without the content, then there will be no service.
The more I think about it, the less confident I feel in actually it becoming a thing where people can make money on the back
end. And when they're talking about money, even on this piece, it's not a tremendous amount of money. It's just really kind of like a small residual.
Yeah.
And I realized I kind of gamed it even earlier. After reading the piece, I scrolled Twitter for a moment and I saw a preview for the new Watchmen series that's coming out on HBO. Oh. I'm not sure if you're a Watchmen fan of the graphic novel or the Zack Snyder movie.
Mr. Manhattan. Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah. Fire. And I was hype off the preview and I retweeted it and I had a little comment like, whoa, okay, this looks cool, but basically, like, summarizing it. And that is just extra advertising that I just did on behalf of HBO. Now, there are arguments on both sides, like, should I get some type of benefit out of that? But what these people are seeing is that we're doing all of the labor while on the platform.
It's weird.
So it's just a perverse setup that we have.
And you know what earned media is?
I've heard the phrase, but feel free to fill me
in. Yeah, but listeners, the idea of earned media is just that there is some media that you don't pay for because of the energy of your presence has made you talkable. So you don't have to pay for ad slots or whatever, anything like that. You become such a presence that people just want to cover you, talk about you, share you. Mm-hmm. So it's like already sort of a concept in advertising.
That's only earned media if and when the people that are spreading whatever that media is are not self-actualizing and don't want any financial, and are not in it for any financial incentive.
Well, I mean, yes, but it's also like, oh, this viral thing was so funny, the news is going to report on it. They have financial incentives, but it's such a big thing. Or this is a competing television show that's such a big deal.
The news makes money.
I mean, yeah, yeah. What I'm saying is that they're not like if I am an HBO show mm-hmm. and I don't know, a show on Showtime is super popular, everyone's talking about it, but I still am John Oliver and I report on it. It's like it's not necessarily tied to their own profit incentive for that particular thing that they are sharing.
Yes, but John Oliver is still being paid, and he's also being paid to report on interesting things.
Mm.
Like we're only being paid in likes. And
they're not delicious? You don't enjoy them?
No, I'm actually very anti all of that shit. Like,
I don't like it.
Yeah, I like Twitter, but I'm really totally out on that. And it's been proven not to be very good for you. But yeah, we're paid in social status. Like, and the information that you get,
credits. Sure.
Yeah. So that's where the line is a bit different.
So are we fucked or what?
I just think it's
a good thought exercise.
It's a good thought exercise. It was just an interesting piece. I think it was an opening salvo. And in the very least, we will have a lot more control over our data in the very near future.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
We're not with ravaged into like being birthed into like a Facebook account and all these things. Like, I don't know. I don't know if we will have more control.
I'm dark. Still trying to be positive. just try to make it dark on the
podcast. Like some of the stuff, like we talked about social media and whatnot, but things like reCAPTCHA.
Yeah,
it's just like it's everywhere. Recently, what felt really pervasive about it was I felt like I was talking to a friend about something, and you know how they're listening to us all the time, so you'll say things and then the ads will come up. From microphones,
mm-hmm.
I swear to God that it showed him an ad that I would like, because they like I guess knew I was maybe through phone tracking or something like that that knows where I am related to my friend. So it shows him an ad on his YouTube, and then he goes, "Oh man, did you see this thing that you like this?" And it's like, are they manufacturing word of mouth now, and shit like that? And it's just,
yeah.
Yes, but it's just like. Man, we could be curing cancer or some shit. This like the craziness of this, and so quickly, man. I'm it's dark in the
pod. Well, hey, if this all works out, you'll get your $250 a month for retweeting Coffee Dad every day.
Is that gonna be Trump salvo? He's going to move us into further big business by capitulating. To offer a universal basic income based upon your participation in social media. So, you know, I'm a big Twitter guy, so I'll facilitate this. I brought Jack and Mark in.
No, it'd be more like the actual reality that's happening in China or investigating in China that from that Black Mirror episode where your credit score was
the social credit?
Yeah, it was linked to your fucking social accounts and how people viewed you. Yeah. But I would say to kind of close this out, not just random asides that we all produce or random videos we watch, but any like super niche thing that you do on the internet or that you like or that Yelp review that you leave, like that does provide a certain amount of value, not even just to yourself, but to the larger populace and to the services, essentially. Like, so there is a value that's being brought. So in short, if there's a fight that labor wants to make, like it's there. The grounds are a bit shaky, but
can I posit this one last thing?
Mm-hmm.
Is not this social cultural hive mind a socialist ideal that we all contribute a little bit to these monstrous things? And
that's not socialist at all. It's like you're doing work, so you get paid. Like that's just how
Work. It's like the library. It's like,
well, that's the Wikipedia part that they're saying. Like Wikipedia already has this ideal kind of working.
That is crowdfunded and these things like that. It's not for profit, but we're still all Yeah,
they haven't decided about Wikipedia directly on it.
Yeah, but. Yeah. I was just trying to find some kind of silver lining in this shit. That if we government take over these eventually, then it's all fair share, right?
No.
Well, DJ,
regulation.
If we actually look into the future, Gen Z will have to worry about these dystopian social issues more than we will.
For sure.
There's a piece in the Atlantic, The Coming Generation War. The Democrats are rapidly becoming the party of the young, and the consequences could be profound by, I want to say, Neil? N-I-A-L-L.
Neil
Ferguson and Ike Freeman. A-Y-C-K. He sounds like a Viking, so I feel like to say some kind of Nordic way. Ike Freeman.
Very nice.
An interesting look into the shifting demographics of our nation and what that means for the future of policy as us, being millennials, and the Warriors of Zion from The Matrix form a cultural coalition that Gen X might participate in against the older generations, and how that will mean for our policy future in maybe 10 to 15 years, that we actually might turn out okay. And
if we make it there.
If we make it. And what does that mean for our own political spectrum amongst us?
When you say us, you mean what? Like millennials?
The people that, you know.
Or people living in this age
now. The people that say we are on the current left as we move forward and we all become most of society. What is the new left? What is the new right? Mm. Yeah, it's interesting because they use Ocasio-Cortez and her ideas, and you know the idea she's been painted as this leftist figure, and all the, you know, the people that talk like this are going to upset. They're going to upset about her. And for the most of us, how far is she, like for us, how far is she really on this left? And in the future, are we going to have new neo hype kids like, I'm 20 years old, I got purple hair, and I'm starting a fucking anarchist shit out in the woods, and we're all fucking each other. I don't know. Like, is that the new left? It's an interesting place, especially with the historical reference of New Deal and Roosevelt and Neil and Strauss stuff. So I was engaged by this. I love a good chart.
Don't we all?
Yes.
It's visual. You and Trump. You're big yeah, into charts.
Yeah, well, we know. I love charts. Yes.
Not reading as much, but charts are plenty.
Indeed.
But no. Yeah, I've always been perplexed by the idea of the middle, or like center left, center right. I get the gist of what they're talking about.
I don't care about anything.
No, it's just like, I guess I'm okay with the status quo as it is now. But I don't know what, I guess you're interested in incremental policy solutions to what ails the country or what can improve the country.
Yes.
But it's not.
That upsets no one.
It's actually not an actual like profile in what it is, though. So I guess what they're saying is in what, 15 years, Cortez will be labeled a centrist?
Probably.
It's basically what it is, with, like a normal Democrat.
Well, the end of this posits something sort of terrifying, that after her is Generation T.
Why is it T?
Generation Trump. For these wild young racists, some shit coming after Gen Z.
I must have missed that part.
It's the very end. It's just talking about the theory and how everything is cyclical.
Yes, so, political cycles definitely go.
But like potentially this cycle moves forward, and it's moving forward. Even if it's a cycle, hopefully it's rolling forward and not with Generation T. But
I don't even think there will be enough like
white angst.
Keep
it alive.
I think as we move further, to be honest, right, race and racism has impacted so much of what happens in, like, literally everything that happens in American life, that the further we get away from that, like from 1964, then
you see,
like, the better off would probably be.
You see, your boy Nate Silver got like flamed on the internet because of his take on sort of liberals and what they'll vote for Biden because of how he stands, how there's more moderates, and how an African-American vote would lean that way and stuff like that. And he kind of got flamed because it's like, the reason that even happens is because white people are pushing this shit so far right, and that black people are mostly going to vote. They don't need to be tricked into voting left because of Joe Biden or something like that. We vote for the leftist shit. It's y'all
out of necessity. Yeah, black people are actually largely religious and conservative in a lot of ways,
but at least still socially. Have enough common sense to be like, I'm gonna vote for the shit that'll help people.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah, it's rather paradoxical. So yeah, you said you had some questions for me. You had some asides.
I did. They're about this topic.
There are multitudes here.
So, in the future.
In the future.
I guess this posits 2028 or.
Future.
You remember that?
What
that was Squidward? Like when he was, I think that's a meme something.
Where do you feel in 10 years that you'll be on some shit and you're like, oh, am I really on the right of this shit now? 10, 15 years, I would say.
I'm not.
Is there some sort of policy issue where you're already like, and then when Gen Z comes in with their fucking spiked helmets and shit, then you'll be you'll be like, fuck, I gotta hold up the old guard.
I mean, I'm pretty cool with most of the leftist positions that are popular nowadays. I think
climate.
Yeah, I mean, we just have to do something about that regardless. Like, come on now. I think socialized medicine is good.
Okay.
It's a public good. We need that. Most other established Western countries have it.
Mm-hmm.
I think rich people should be taxed more. Like, okay.
They're not radical.
What's funny is that's what I'm saying. Like, the center doesn't make sense, because if you ask any normal, let's say, progressive or Democrat or liberal person these type of questions, they all say yes to just about all of this stuff. And if they say no, like, it's like a weird vague, like, okay, well, what do you think we should do?
I'm just trying to win something vague for now.
Yeah. And then if you have a conservative, some of this stuff, or Republican or whatever, like, they just say no, it's like, there's no necessarily good reason for us to be paying these exorbitant prices for drugs and healthcare. Like, it just, but you, the market just clearly doesn't work in that realm. Because people's lives are on the line, so it was just like, yeah, we could charge you a lot of money. So, not to say that there are any issues associated with it or having a socialized medicine, but I mean, other countries have figured this shit out. And if we believe in America, then we should be able to believe that we can accomplish shit like that. Okay, so that's that. I do believe, though, okay, and just I'm about
getting,
all
I'm
of
right. I'm getting ready. Okay,
all of the other sectors of the American economy still should be driven by markets. So, no, I'm not like a socialist and thinks that workers or the government should take over, or the, as they call it, like the means of production of shit. Like, I'm not down with the whole like
communist Russia shit.
Yeah, like the whole DSA movement or whatever. Like, I'm cool with getting a new iPhone every year or two.
Fuck, you know, them Thai children, fuck them.
Yeah, you know, that's all driven by the capitalist machine. So we all saw Endgame. Like, Endgame just would not happen in Soviet Union. Like, they just, like, they would not be putting enough money into that shit. Like, you need private entities to do shit like that, to pull that off. 10 years to pull that off. So, yeah, I think capitalism still could work.
Off Endgame.
Yeah. Shout out to Endgame and Game of Thrones. So, mixed economy.
This shit got like a whole month run of earned media, nigga. Goddamn.
It's just lit. But go ahead. It was worth it, man. It was just fire. RP Iron Man. So, definitely not totally into the whole like socialist thing. And that is rather fringy. So, I guess you were saying like we'll lurch more and more leftward. But I feel like, honestly, if we figured out medicine or like healthcare, a lot of shit would kind of die down, and then people would try to address more obscure issues. I don't think we would then move on to, oh, privatized banking. And then, that doesn't seem to be a large
There's not that many things we actually disagree on.
It's a rhetorical, like, to what degree you're trying to do it, how quickly can we move voters, what are the impediments, like that. That's what people are mostly worried about. It's not really on the merits of do you agree with X or Y.
And you know what's funny? There's this website that I was gonna go to posit some of these positions to you called I Side With, and it just has every political issue. But underneath them, there's like 9 sub issues, which are the actual discussions. It's like, where do you stand on social issues? But there's 9 to 12 things that, oh, this is actually something, and this is actually something. So it's funny how they've been bundled together. Like, immigration issues, border wall, Muslim immigrants, immigration ban, immigration healthcare, deporting criminal immigrants. Like, that's okay. In-state tuition, that's a whole other thing. So it's like, the idea that these blanket issues are just so broad when there's literally 20 subheadings and shit, it's just ridiculous where we're at.
Yeah. What do you think, though? You think we're going down the wrong path?
Oh, shit. I was about to say, that you asked me, what did I think? I was about to get in trouble and end up a Republican and shit out here.
Oh, you don't want motherfuckers to have healthcare? Damn, that's fucked up, man.
No, that's not it. I don't know if this is a Republican issue. It seems like it is now because of the way the things are, but too many niggas going to school, yo. It's true. That shit is true.
Okay.
And it's not about...
Okay. Here's the thing. The country is just far too capitalist.
And that's what it is.
And we as a whole have slowly but surely moved away from the parochial religious beginnings we've had. Mm-hmm. And that has pulled...
That kind of tempered this wild capitalism. Yeah,
well, that it's tempered not just that, but also I'm thinking more of like a social perspective. Okay. People are just not as religious anymore. So what we need are more state and local community organizations or ways to...
Institutions
to mix and mingle people. So yeah, probably too many motherfuckers are going to IDT Tech or whatever just to try to get some type of certification. So we probably need more large-scale apprenticeship type things, AmeriCorps things, or a rebranding or pushing that a lot more, like how we have Peace Corps, people go 2 years to this, 2 years to that. Why don't we have that within the country itself? Like, oh, I live in New York, I graduate high school, or I spend 2 years helping build a railroad in the middle of fucking Iowa, something like that.
Maybe you stay there.
And you intermingle the country, and that would help out a lot of these like sociopolitical issues that we have as of now. Also, doubling down, investing in rec centers and basketball courts and all that type of shit. Like, we just don't have nearly enough of those things, or at least that are really pushed on from a federal level.
Yeah, because in general, I just feel like, damn, school is crazy. The access that the state and, you know, local schools should have to the community should be bigger, because it should be a thing that's part, it's public. But people don't, you're putting a campus in the middle of fucking nowhere, and it becomes a thing that's not public, even though it should be. And mm-hmm. have more access, and people should be more available, and it should be fucking cheaper. So if there was a way to, I'm sorry, stratify people, they do it in Germany, all right? Shit, in these other places. So that people can still get educated without all having to pay this exorbitant capitalist trumped up amount, I would prefer that. I'm sorry, college for all, everyone.
That wasn't that like wild though.
Yeah, I mean, yes, because I explained it, but if people say, listen, all your niggas gotta go to college, then
yo, I mean, most of the society and policy remedies for the country, they all like point leftward, except for more religiosity. To be honest, that's the only one that leans like conservative. Everything else is just like,
because they don't have any.
Yeah, so it's like niggas will be having no ideas like whatsoever. It's just, oh, shit is lit because, you know, the stock market is going up and shit is mad capitalist. So like, people are not happy, obviously, clearly. Like, it's just niggas, it's very acrimonious right now.
Just because Walmart making more money, it's like people still broke.
Yo, I saw a headline today, like, you know, a Walmart superstore manager on average makes $175,000.
Believe it.
I didn't believe it. I don't know if I still believe it. It was in the Wall Street Journal.
That's a big management job shit.
Apparently, but I'm like, God damn, I went to school for the wrong thing. I should have went to Walmart University. You know they have it. It's real.
Oh,
it's like, not an actual university. It's just like an internal training program.
Like, but it's like McDonald's U or whatever.
Apparently, maybe. I didn't know it was a McDonald's U. Where is that at? Ronald McDonald's House? Yeah, Chicago?
Chicago.
I think that was Christopher, right? Yeah, I don't know. I guess really the only far reaches of the left is socialism. I don't think
we're
going to go off that cliff, because our core religion is fucking
money.
Yeah, money. Like, we know that.
I would say that the right, I feel like they have a big push on these international like issues and shit, just because of the money. So like, where else can we go and fuck with shit so we can make more money? I guess that's the only impetus of it. But I think that's one area where they try to, I guess, have policy, international issues.
Oh, like what? Like trade and like IP?
Between trade and war and shit. Like trade and war. They're like, yo, we trying to make more money. So those are two things they care about.
More power to them, I guess.
I guess so.
While we over squabbling amongst ourselves. It was a school shooting yesterday. That shit barely made a blip on the news.
Yeah, it's fucked up. No. Okay. All right. Because I'm trying to be controversial, because you're answering all the questions good. Guns. All right. Domestic policy issues. Gun control, good, because they list them all out. It's just hilarious. Domestic policy issue, gun control, obviously good. What does that mean? Armed teachers, bad. Muslim surveillance, bad. Gerrymandering. Gerrymandering is bad. Decriminalizing drug use. Where do you stand on this? Obviously weed, okay, fine, whatever.
That goes without saying.
But in terms of niggas not going to jail, decriminalizing. But what do we do when people are drugged out? What is the plan for this?
You would hope that there's some type of social safety net there that would help them rehabilitate themselves.
Okay, so we're paying for that. We're paying for
why not?
Hospitals, I guess.
Niggas don't understand how rich the U.S. is and how rich some of these... We live in New York. It's a lot of rich motherfuckers here.
Yeah, they're not giving it up.
I know, but it's just... It's honestly, that's... I mean, this is the core of the libertarian principle and capitalism. I understand that. But, like, when you really think about this shit and how we're supposed to be a big and diverse country, but, like, all linked together in some capacity under one flag, under one nation, under God, or whatever.
Salad bowl, though.
It's like, God damn. Fuck the melting pot. What does that mean? Is that you thought of that?
No, it's a big theory out there in political thought, just that we're not a melting pot, we're actually a salad bowl.
What does that mean?
That we're different shit, just in a bowl together.
The nigga just thrown in a bowl.
We ain't blended.
Mm-hmm. We ain't got to blend, but shit, nigga, you still need those croutons and the tomato and the...
Eminent domain, that's Republican.
Is it?
Yeah, the idea that the government can't just come take your shit.
I feel like that's not Republican.
No, but just the idea that, like, this is an issue that they will care about, supposedly.
Oh, I mean, is that, like, that hot on the streets, though?
Yeah, nigga, we right by Barclays, that ain't we?
Nigga, there was money involved with that.
I know,
shit.
I'm just thinking of, like, the border wall.
What about that?
They're supposedly just taking nigga shit to build that wall.
Yeah, but that's going to be logged. That's going to be bogged down in litigation to, like, 2028. Trump is not getting that wall. But like in the way in which he was asking for it anyway, regardless of what Congress did, because that's going to be just bogged down in lawsuits. So because they got to take the hundreds of people that own property along the border to court. That's just not flying. So what else we got?
I don't know, man. All these are just, like, as you said before, there's a shit ton of international issues which are just absurd that I'm not going to pretend that I know about. But also, these ones that are domestic, the answer is some left-leaning shit. We both agree with it.
Even just vaguely left-leaning.
I'm
like,
just like, obviously. Oh, here you go. Israel boycott.
Like BDS?
Just should we? Are we fucking with Israel?
I'm not. Like, they okay. I hope they do well, but I'm not fucking with Israel. Like, no, they're good.
Because that somehow became a right wing issue all of a sudden. Like,
because honestly, you know why, though. You know why this evangelical thing. You know why.
They try to bring in the
world. Armageddon. So, I don't know if you laughed about that shit. That shit's fucking crazy.
It's like 5 years ago, like, we was right, nigga. just blow everybody, blowing the fuck up. This is ridiculous.
Should be like, this is the end.
Fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, that is the strange bedfellows of right wing zealots of both Jewish and Christian stripes, evangelical Christian stripes, both trying to make Israel a purely what Jewish state and get all of the Jews there.
Ethno state.
So they can start the end times and have the Battle of Armageddon. Who's that's like Lucifer, right? Isn't Lucifer supposed to be like leading?
I don't want to get into this, but it's but it's like he comes back and he fights, his nigga's got horns and his nigga got 10 eyes. All this kind of shit in there. It's wild. It's definitely they should pay the niggas to the Avengers to do that shit. Why haven't they done that yet?
The Avengers Armageddon?
No, just like an Armageddon movie.
Honestly, when I was thinking, I think last pod when we were talking about, like, what is the next monocultural thing, I was like, damn, they could do a lot of these biblical stories, but that's mad touchy, to be honest.
Like honestly, if they just did an Armageddon movie, you get all the Christians out, right? It would start a big, controversial, like, talking circuit about it for, like, 2 years. There's, like, how long niggas talk about Passion of Christ.
Yeah.
But if they do it about Armageddon, which is, like, mad lit and niggas getting chopped up on some wild shit, like...
Who'd they fight?
What?
Who fights in Armageddon?
Did you really want to explain Armageddon to you?
No, just tell me who fights.
Well, the idea is that everybody that died comes back to life.
Okay.
To go.
Yo, shout out to you. You stayed up then with what, like Bible study?
All right.
Sunday school. Shout out.
I think I used to teach Sunday school.
Okay.
All right. So solid. The idea that everybody comes back to life or some shit, it's confusing. And there's also the idea that end times begin, where some charlatan type nigga.
This is sounding like a lot like Endgame, by the way.
Yeah, but there's some charlatan type nigga like fools everybody, but he's really the. This is the why every president is the Antichrist.
Hmm.
Comes back and it's like,
oh yeah, the Antichrist. Yeah. My bad.
So Antichrist comes in, he's like, yo, fuck with me, yo, fuck with me. But he's really mad evil and shit.
Right.
And he brings like this era of just complete chaos and shit. And then the world opens up, nigga, and then the fucking devil comes with mad horns and all kinds of wild shit.
Yeah.
Niggas get raptured up, then all the good people get to go to heaven with all the dead people that came back, and then Earth is just some wild, like crazy war, blood running and shit, niggas battling.
Oh, with the people that didn't make the rapture.
Yeah, they just niggas out here
getting demolished.
Getting demolished, and there's blood running in the streets, pestilence, all kinds of wild shit. Yeah. And then after all that's been happening, niggas are getting smoked for a long period of time. Jesus is supposed to come down, but he also is mad wild looking. He got like eight arms and shit, and kills the nigga, and then you know, we all eat peanut butter jelly, nigga, it's over.
Honestly, that shit sounds pretty lit. So
yeah, this should be mad crazy.
If you want to write this treatment, let me know. We're just gonna change all the names.
And then, I mean, and then think about it: is there's no IP on this shit. You could just write it. It's not like niggas would come sue you. I can do it. Nigga, the Bible, 1,000 years old. This shit is
public ripe. Domain.
Public domain. All right. Great CGI.
Boy,
get somebody like mad lit to play Jesus. Somebody random. I don't know. Like,
I mean, Jared Leto is
no Samuel Jackson.
You went Samuel. I went Jared Leto. I was like, look, I've been trying out for that shit for years. Be white Jesus.
It's hilarious, man.
Okay, that was a crazy aside. How much time did
we have? It's really only a few minutes, like 2 minutes left. But my last one that's supposedly a actual policy issue that could have a Republican / liberal solution. Nuclear energy. Do we fuck with that? Is it too dangerous? Or is it make things cheaper?
I'm supposed to head to the crib and watch this Chernobyl HBO miniseries.
Yeah.
And that shit looked like it turned out pretty poorly. So if we can find different alternatives, I would be more into that.
Because they say it's safe now.
But so honestly, I'm not against it, to be honest.
All right, cool.
But yeah, what are we really trying to say on the whole
solution?
What are we trying to say? It looks like the future is going to be much more left than it is now.
Yes.
So for those of you that support that, I guess we just have to persevere and hope the country doesn't, or the world doesn't blow up, or turn to ashes.
Survive another year and a half, hopefully.
Yeah, because a lot of people that fit the profile of Trump's voter base will not be here in due time, while an emerging further left base is definitely on the way. And there will be a backlash to that backlash. There'll be a backlash to the backlash to the backlash.
But steadily rolling forward, hopefully.
But steadily rolling forward, this is the, what would you call it? The rambunctious.